Hello, everyone. So, Steve, that was very good. I actually feel quite encouraged. The songs, Steve's message, just all seem to be lining up here. So, 8 years ago, I thought that I had everything together. But I learned the hard way that I don't hold myself together. Only God does that. And the possibility of suffering depression and anxiety was the furthest thing from my mind. I mistakenly thought that I was immune to such things. And how wrong I was. Around July 2008, a hopelessness and an irrational fear settled over me. Fear like I had never known before. I actually thought that I was losing my mind. I thought I was going mad. And I was mentally and physically just burnt out. I underwent sleep therapy. They knocked me out for about 3 days. I was put onto tranquilizers, sleeping pills, antidepressants. And never in my wildest dreams did I think in my 30s that somebody else would be bathing and dressing me. I was broken. And why did God allow it to happen? I don't know. But this I do know. God brought me through that darkness. And yes, it's been a long process, but engraved on my heart through that experience is an undeniable knowledge that my God is good, He is gentle, and He is kind. And I would go through that again to learn those three things. My God, He is gentle, He is good, and He is kind. Nobody can take that away from me. So with the help of doctors over time, I've been weaned off most of the medication, but still to this day, I take a tranquilizer at night to sleep. And why am I telling you all of this? I think because some believers battle with the idea that for a Christian to take medication for mental ill health, they somehow think that it's not okay. And at the risk of sounding like I know it all, I really want you to hear this morning, it is okay if you're a believer, if you need medication for depression, it's okay. If you're a child of God and you need treatment for depression, it does not make you a second-rate Christian, nor does it make your faith inferior to the next person's. I know that God can heal instantaneously. I know that He can do that. But I've found when there's mental illness, more often than not, He restores people gently over time. And some people have no choice but to be on psychiatric medication for life. I know that. But if you have been diagnosed with depression, please don't take it as a life sentence, because most people can be weaned off their medication with medical supervision. So there's always hope. So you only need to have left the warmth of your mother's womb to know that life can really suck sometimes. Who's left the warmth of their mother's womb? Okay, so you've all experienced life. Do you know that song from The Sound of Music? My Favorite Things? Probably only us older generation, but that thing that goes raindrops on roses, whiskers on kittens. Well, life's not always like that. You know what I'm saying? And the older you get, the more you realize that nobody's immune to dark times. Suffering, loneliness, death, anxiety are all very real things. If you've lived through a husband's betrayal, financial hardship, the death of a loved one, a parent's divorce, a child suffering with sickness, or if you've been physically beaten, or if you've lived with depression, then you'll know about dark times. So what happened to this world that we live in? I mean, how did people get so messed up? This is very simple, guys. When God created planet Earth, it was a place of perfection. But then mankind chose not to obey. Does that kind of ring true for today? Man's still choosing not to obey. And from the moment he chose not to obey, creation and order in creation began to unravel. When creation fell, the devil was cast down from heaven to earth. And what has he been doing all this time on earth? Well, in Job chapter 1, verse 7, it says that he's roaming the earth, going back and forth in it. Well, why is he doing that? We get then again to Steve's scripture in Peter, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. He's roaming the earth. The devil is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So the havoc that you see around you and the darkness you sometimes experience is not God's doing. It's the result either one of disobedience to God's divine order, or it's the schemes of the devil. It's not God. Here's the good news. Before you all want to run away or crawl up in a ball and die. The good news is God came to earth. He came to do life with us so that we wouldn't have to be alone in dark times. I don't know. I've always had this thought. Why wasn't Jesus born in the middle of the day? Have you ever wondered that? Maybe I'm only the weird person that wonders that. But I thought, why was he born at night? You know, all my children were born in the middle of the day. I think it was to emphasize the fact that he is here for us in our darkest hours. So he was born at night when it was dark. Very simple, but I like that. And he knew that none of us could do life without him. Why on earth do we try to do it in our own strength? Oops, sorry, Ali. I'm playing with your thingies. On the night Jesus was born, 2,000 plus years ago, the best news ever preached was delivered to earth by angels. And the news was of such huge, huge significance that God entrusted it to his angels. And this is what the message from heaven was. Do any of you know what the first three words were? No, not joy to the world. Do not be afraid. That's four, hey? Sorry, four words. The first message from heaven after Jesus was born was, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So it wasn't for just a few shepherds on the hillside. It was for all of mankind. And further on in the gospel, it says, today a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. So this might be the devil's hunting ground, but Jesus came. You have to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior for his peace and favor to rest on you though. Our hope in dark times is a person. It's not some good idea out there. He's a person. His name is Jesus. He came to destroy the works of the devil and to deliver us from evil. When he is truly my Lord, when he's truly your Lord and he's not just your Sunday duty, then Psalm 23 will be your reality. I love Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Do you see that word through? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's a promise that the dark times in our lives are not unending. Amen? He's going to walk us through those dark valleys into where the sun shines again. So if you're in a dark place now, it will pass. Who of you have ever experienced an African storm, an electrical storm? I can't really even describe it, but I'm going to attempt to. The wind howls like nothing you've ever heard. Just everything's whipped around. The air is so charged with electricity sometimes that your hair actually stands up. It's the strangest thing, but the hair on your arms will stand up. And when the thunder claps, you can feel the house vibrate. The windows rattle. And sometimes if it's close enough, that thunderclap, you actually feel that reverberation in your chest. And the raindrops, they sound like stampeding. Do you know what antelopes are in this country? Okay, so it just sounds like a massive herd of stampeding antelopes. This rain just comes huge. It just seems like, I don't know, it doesn't feel like little droplets are falling. It's like, I don't know what God's throwing down from heaven, but it's quite something to experience. Well, when my kids were growing up, if it started to storm at night, I would invariably hear these little feet running down the wooden passage. And all of them did it at some stage or another, so they can't say the one's more of a scaredy cat. So I'd hear these little feet running down the passage, and then I'd feel this two-foot-long object just hurl itself under the covers into my rib cage. And all I would do is just put an arm around them, and they would go back to sleep. The rain hadn't stopped. The wind was still howling. The storm still raged. But now my presence was there. And it's the same way with God. If you throw yourself into God's care, then there is nowhere you can go where he is not present. Nowhere. Psalm 139, verses 5 to 10. Okay, listen to this. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Think about that. It's like there's nowhere you can go. You're hemmed in behind, before, and upon. It's God, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your right hand will guide me. Even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. The situations that cause the darkness might not go away, but when you know that the creator of the universe walks with you, or in some cases is carrying you, somehow the storms are robbed of their power to destroy you. Now, there are two truths that we have to understand very clearly about evil. And these truths we need to settle in our heart. If we don't settle these two truths in our heart, the devil's going to mess with your faith. And he'll wreck your faith and mess with your mind. So these are the two truths we need to settle. Truth number one, the source of evil is Satan, not God. God is not the author of evil. Evil is not in his character. God is altogether good. And listen to this, that goodness extends to him not leaving the guilty unpunished. Okay, that's the first thing, that God is altogether good. The second thing about evil, the devil and God are not equal powers in a tug of war struggle between good and evil. God is supreme in power, and nothing can happen without his divine permission. So you ask the question then, if God is in absolute control of everything, why does he allow evil to happen? Well, this side of heaven, I'm afraid, that is a question without an adequate answer. But I know that God gives grace to us to live with unanswered questions, and it is a hard question. But do you think that it's so important that we understand why? Why do hardships happen to us? Do explanations really satisfy in tragic times? When I had a good friend in South Africa and her little boy drowned, and no words or explanations could ever have satisfied or gratified her pain. To have said to her, he's in a better place, or God knew what the future held, so he took him. Those would have been empty words, just words in the wind. When we hurt deeply, what we need is not explanation from God, but rather a revelation of God. And what does it mean to have a revelation of God? It's to understand and know him better. Can you pass me my Bible, baby? I don't mean to sound like a dripping tap now or a mother, but I'm going to sound like one. If you're wanting revelation from God, you're wanting to know him better, and you're not reading this, you're not going to have revelation. You'll be always asking questions, and there will never be a settledness and a contentment in your heart and a blessed assurance that God is good. So this is actually his voice to you. It speaks. You want revelation? Listen to his voice. Listen to it on your iPad or listen to it on your cell phone. Or if you, the older generation, read it. This thing makes a heck of a noise when you like breathe into it. Sorry if that was a heavy. So ask God for revelations, not explanations. Then when the tough time comes, you'll be assured of his power to see you through seemingly impossible situations. You'll be able to echo the words of Job, "I know that my Redeemer lives." And I thought of that. I thought, how does Carol Hughes, her oldest son has been diagnosed with a disease that isn't curable. How does she still walk around with a smile on her face? Because she knows her Redeemer lives. How does Jane, who lost her son Joel, still have a spring in her step? Because she knows her Redeemer lives. And I just thought about it. A whole lot of you all dotted across your... The thing that keeps us still being able to carry joy in our hearts is because we know that our Lord still lives and lives each day with us. I'm going to finish off now. Friends, if you're not anchored in the goodness of God, you will lower your theology to match your pain. I'm going to read that again. If you're not anchored in the goodness of God, you will lower your theology to match your pain. Now, theology is the study of the nature of God. In other words, if you aren't assured that God is altogether good, then your view of God shrinks to enable you to explain why bad things happen. So my encouragement to you this morning is never, ever let your view of God shrink. Otherwise, you're finished. God, that's truth above all else, that God is good. Amen.